Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God says, "Behold, I set before you today life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." And God is calling for us today to do the same, to choose life. He's setting before us life and death, blessings and cursings. And in the state of Florida, we actually will go to the ballot box in November. And in addition to voting for candidates, we also will vote to actually determine whether abortionists will have free reign to continue killing preborn children without any restrictions on abortion. And so we begin a series to actually look at God's word and look what God requires of us. Sadly, in November, we will not have the opportunity to also put it on the ballot a pro-life amendment. We don't have that opportunity because certain organizations, including Florida Right to Life and Florida Family Policy Council, actively opposed our effort to actually put a pro-life amendment on the ballot. And yet the other side, the pro-abortion side, was united. The pro-life side was not united, but the pro-abortion side was united to work to preserve their quote-unquote right to shed innocent blood. And because of that, because they didn't look at polling numbers, they didn't look at whether they believed they could win or not, or whether they could even get on the ballot or not. They actually spent about $15 million. Donations came in from throughout the country to fund the continued shedding of innocent blood. And we in November will still have a right, even though we won't be able to protect innocent human life, we won't be able to put that into the Constitution, we will be able to vote to prohibit Amendment 4 from getting on or from being a part of the Constitution. The title of this amendment is Amendment to Limit Government Interference with Abortion. Really, that is not an accurate title, though, because this won't just limit government's ability to interfere with abortion. What this will do is it actually would allow abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. And so it would actually eliminate the government's ability to protect preborn children in the womb. The summary of this is really the same as the full text, and that is, no law shall prohibit, penalize, or delay or restrict abortion before viability. Now, viability is not defined in this amendment. By the way, I'm stopping right there. There's more to it that we'll go over here in just a few minutes here. But viability is not defined. And of course, viability is a changing variable, a changing term. Really, we will at some point have the ability to protect innocent human life, even from the moment of conception all the way till natural death. At some point, we will have the scientific technology to do that. But right now, you know, we're looking at probably 23 to 26 weeks of gestation. And so what we're looking at here is no restrictions at all on abortion all the way up till the moment of viability. So we're talking about not even having any regulation or making sure that an abortion clinic is operating safely. And by the way, I don't believe that we should be making sure that they operate safely. I believe that we should be closing them down, because these businesses, and they are, even if they're run as a nonprofit, they still are businesses, and their product is the destruction of innocent human life. And God is calling for us to defend innocent human life. So this will not allow any restriction, not to no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability, or when necessary to protect the patient's health. And really, this is deceptive. A lot of times, what people would maybe be thinking of is the life of the mother. And by the way, there are situations where maybe a procedure needs to happen on the mother that may actually harm a baby's life. Sometimes premature delivery is necessary. And sometimes that's before we currently have the scientific technology to protect that life and to preserve that life outside of the womb. But there is never a necessity to rip a baby limb from limb, to slice a baby's arms and legs off, to crush her skull and remove her from her mother's womb. That is never, ever necessary to save the life of a mother. But this doesn't just talk about saving the life of a mother. This talks about the patient's health. So this could be really anything, financial hardship or an emotional trauma, even having morning sickness could be determined as that is necessary to kill this baby. And as this is determined not by a judge or not by a doctor who actually cares, who has a responsibility to care for the child, but by the patient's health care provider. In other words, the abortionist, the man or woman who will make money ripping this baby limb from limb, is the one who will determine whether it is right to kill this baby or not, whether it is necessary to protect the patient's health. And it goes on and says, this amendment does not change the legislator's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. So this sounds kind of like parental consent. Currently, a minor child cannot have his or her ears pierced without parental consent. A minor child cannot have any medical procedure without parental consent. Even the administration of an aspirin cannot happen without parental consent. But that minor can actually go and pay an abortionist to rip her baby limb from limb, or even have her pimp or someone who is trafficking her go and pay an abortionist to rip the baby limb from limb, and without parental consent. Now, we do have a parental consent law in the state of Florida right now, and there is a judicial bypass to it. But this is not talking about parental consent. This is talking about parental notification. Oh, by the way, your daughter had an abortion. This is what we're talking about with parental notification. And so this amendment, you can tell from the language that this amendment is really very radical and extreme and would allow abortion all the way up to the moment of birth if the healthcare provider of the woman determined that it was necessary to protect her health. And by the way, if you're paying them enough money, they can determine that. One of the things that we have shown when we have gone to Tallahassee is we have actually shown a particular abortion clinic. This is an abortion clinic in Orlando that actually does publicly advertise that they perform third trimester fatal fetal anomaly abortions. This is the Orlando Women's Center. Why do they advertise that they perform that? Well, the quote-unquote pro-life laws that pro-life legislators have passed allow them to perform third trimester fatal fetal anomaly abortions. Now, coming up real soon, the six-week abortion ban will be in effect. And what will happen at that point is that fatal fetal anomaly abortions will be limited to the end of the second trimester. But what will happen, though, is that 6 week ban still has not only the life of the mother, but also the health of the mother. So even the pro-life legislators have been really negligent in protecting preborn life and stopping the shedding of innocent blood. And we're going to actually look at the Bible. We're going to see what God requires of us. And we're going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, one thing just to get the backdrop of Deuteronomy 30, you'll know that really Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, is a history lesson and a review of the law of God for the Israelites. And what actually happened, in chapter 5, the Ten Commandments are repeated. They are reminded of various things that their fathers, you remember, all the men of war that had the opportunity to go into Canaan land 40 years earlier had died. So this is a new generation here. And before they were going into the promised land, in Deuteronomy 27, the curses were read. You will be cursed if you disobey God. And then in chapter 28, the blessings were read. You will be blessed if you obey God. And then later in chapter 28, the curses were read again so that the people could know that if they turned aside to the right hand or the left hand from doing what God had commanded them, that they would actually be cursed with a curse. The only way to obey God, or the only way to receive God's blessings, is to keep his commandments. And then in verse 1 of chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, we read, "Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God drives you." So, you know, part of the curse is that if they disobeyed God, that God would actually raise up enemies that would oppress them, and that they would even go become captives in foreign lands. And so God here is saying that if this comes to pass, if you don't obey me and you are sent into foreign lands, and these come to mind from among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul. So what we see here is God saying, hey, if you disobey me, I'm going to drive you into other nations. And from those nations, if you remember and you turn back to me, you start obeying my voice, and you turn back to me with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. So God is promising them, if you turn back to me, if you come back to me, I'm going to return you from those nations where I've scattered you. If, verse 4, any of you are driven out to the furthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and will prosper, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. So God is saying here, listen, even if I drive you to the furthest parts of the earth, if you remember me and turn back to me, I will come back. I will bring you back to this land. In verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And so the Israelites had the sign of circumcision, which was a sign of the covenant they had with God. But God here is talking about circumcising their hearts, and circumcising the hearts of their children and helping them to live according to God's commandments and God's precepts so that they could again receive God's blessings. In verse 7, also the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. So the promise here is if you return to God, then God will take these curses and put them on your enemies, those who actually persecuted you. In verse 8, and you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. So this is really the only way that we can receive God's blessings, is when we obey him and we keep his commandments. Verse 9, the Lord your God will make you abound in all the works of your hands, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord your God will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. So here we see the blessings coming upon them because they are keeping, or they would be keeping, God's commandments. In verse 10, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you